And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show. It goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I love living here, by the way. I don't know if I've mentioned that lately. Think about it. When I call this a beautiful state, think about it. What other state can you picture that truly has everything that we have to offer? Mountains and lakes, especially in the northern part of the state, rolling down into black, fertile plains of, you know, agricultural wonderland. And then you go on down to the biggest, whitest, sandiest beaches in the world. I'm just saying, all that's right here. And then you got the deltas, the rivers. Listen, I love living here. All right. What else we got? A couple of text messages for a quick before I jump in. So Marshall from Dubai. I'm still tripping over the fact that we got a guy in Dubai listening to the show. Marshall from Dubai with only 3 decades, he says, to make Top Gun 2. He's waiting on the next one. Here's the movie poster, and it has a picture of a geriatric guy standing next to a fighter jet with a oxygen mask on. Appreciate you, Marshall. Navy Phil from Athens says, real pilots put her down on the deck of an aircraft carrier. Any pilot can hit a landing strip that ain't moving. Anchors away. Navy pilot. I get it. I don't know that I'd ever want to even try that, to be honest. Now, you know, it sounds like the old joke about paratroopers. Anybody can fall out of an airplane. You got to land. That's the difference. Paratroopers know how to land. Allegedly. Zach from Muscle Shoals. Muscle Shoals is home to Lieutenant Colonel Ed Yielding, who flew the last operational SR-71 Blackbird coast to coast in 63 minutes. I did not know he lived in Muscle Shoals. He says, Maverick ain't crap. I'll tell you what. Zach, you tell Lieutenant Colonel Ed Yielding if he wants to come on the show, I would love to get his experiences on the record, man. I'd be cool with that. Here you go. Nita from South Huntsville. What do you call a transgender woman NCO who makes E6? Staff Sergeant, like anybody else. I mean, they don't get special privileges. Good point, Anita. All right. Joe from Owens Crossroads, Biden's Top Gun, Captain Pete Mitchell is played by Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Oh, see, I can see it. All right, hey, listen, so here's the thing. Do I believe we have a lot of wokeness going on in our military? Yes, we do, and we are largely right now a garrison army. You know, the wars in both Afghanistan and Iraq are not going on. Now, do we have troops in harm's way? Yes, we do. Never forget. And by the way, there are some aspects of even garrison life in the military that are far more risky than anything in civilian life. Like, for instance, our buddy Navy Phil talking about putting down on the deck of a carrier. Well, putting down on the deck of a carrier in peacetime is just as hard as it is in wartime. That being said, being a garrison army seems to give the liberals far more time and opportunity to just screw around with our troops, to try and make their lives more woke. Do I believe, though, that if we went to war tomorrow, we'd still win? Yes. Do I believe that our readiness has been impacted, though? Yes, I do. I still really believe, though, that what would happen in a wartime environment is that commanders on the ground would see that they don't have time for that kind of crap because they have a mission focus, and they could set aside some of the minutiae that gets handed to them in garrison. That being said, let's take a look at some of what's being handed to them. Like, for instance, story that I pulled here off of Daily Wire dated yesterday. So the military is supposed to be a merit-based organization, correct? You earn the right to get your next rank. Promotion points, schooling, you know, combat service, awards, decorations, all of it. Well, the Biden administration doesn't care for that. Biden administration opposes merit-based military promotions, wants a provision for race and gender, according to the Daily Wire. This is unbelievable to me. It's one thing to sort of try to move that way and, you know, hey, fellas on the side, just remember we need more women promoted or whatever the case may be. I'm just throwing something out there. It's altogether another to advocate for it. President Joe Biden's administration is fighting back against a new provision in the annual defense spending bill that would require military promotions to be based solely on merit rather than considering race or gender. Okay, they're opposing this. The White House responded to the proposed NDAA in a statement on July 10th, 2 days ago, outlining a number of provisions the administration opposed, from the potential creation of Space Force, National Guard, and all of it. to include an attempt to roll back diversity, equity, and inclusion policies that Biden had enacted at the beginning of his presidency. Quote, the administration strongly opposes the House's sweeping attempts to eliminate the department's longstanding, it's not longstanding, by the way, DEI efforts and related initiatives to improve and promote a cohesive and inclusive force. K. Here's another quote. DOD's strategic advantage in a complex global security environment is the diverse and dynamic talent pool from which we draw. We rely on diverse perspectives, experiences. No, we don't. We do not rely on diverse perspectives. We rely upon perspectives that are accurate, well-trained, and speak with authority. We rely upon a perspective that comes from the command down, and you have to put those into action. Now, are you allowed to ask questions? Certainly. Are you allowed to get briefed up on the situation at hand? And does METT or you know, some of the other considerations, METT, I'm sorry, I just went total acronym on you. Mission, enemy time, terrain, troops available. METT, when you examine it, things change is what I'm trying to say. And yes, you're allowed to make decisions on the ground in the United States military. However, the idea that we rely on diverse perspectives, experiences, and skill sets. No, we don't. When I was an infantry battalion commander, I didn't want a diverse set of perspectives when I gave my op order. I did not. Moreover, DOD is committed to developing and maintaining a dignified, respectful, and safe workplace. Really? Legislation that reduces DOD's ability to create a positive work environment and fully leverage. Well, this is nuts, all right? Representative Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana. Both the merit clause and the clauses of repealing Biden's DEI is a badge of honor, he said, because he wrote it. He's saying they're trying to push back on it. That's a badge of honor. But here's what Chip Roy said, member of the Freedom Caucus. He says, first of all, he supports obviously stripping the DEI provisions out. He says, quote, what we're trying to do is move to a colorblind, race-neutral worldview, where we're focused on building a national defense and a military that is focused on, you know, blowing things up and killing people, not on social engineering wrapped in a uniform. And that's where we need to be. So the very idea that now what we're looking at is a Biden administration that absolutely rejects the idea of moving to a fully merit-based promotion system in the military is like saying, we want to be able to just put people in the jobs who, you know, we think are more diverse, and that way we can be more inclusive. No, you don't. You want warfighters who have earned the right to be at the next rank. You absolutely do. You're allowed to have, okay, here's lawyer Phil, all right? I'll set aside Army Phil for a minute. Here's lawyer Phil talking. Certain occupations are allowed to have what they call BFOQs, bona fide occupational qualifications. For instance, if you want to be a firefighter, you know, we hate it. I mean, there are rules against, I mean, laws against discriminating for, say, someone who has a handicap. But if you want to be a firefighter, you have to be able to climb a ladder, carry a hose, be able to put somebody over your shoulder and run out of a burning building. These are bona fide occupational qualifications. They're allowed to set parameters that would not normally be allowed. If you run an accounting firm, you can't discriminate against somebody in a wheelchair. If you are running a fire department or a military, you can say there are certain things we can't take. And we hate it for you. Thank you for your willingness. But we have a BFOQ that we have to abide by. Biden does not want that. What Biden wants is for anybody to feel inclusive, which is to know that they've had the opportunity. But the reality is exactly what we heard in my quote from my monologue earlier. Ronald Reagan said that we are to be a nation not where everybody is made equal, but where everybody is given equal opportunity. There's a big difference. When you try to gerrymander the numbers to flex into something different than the natural order, it never holds up. And we cannot let our military be pushed into a place where the guy who is the most competent and qualified can't get promoted because he's the wrong color or because he is, you know, the wrong gender or because he does not have a diverse enough perspective. That's how you lose wars. Right now, I believe we're in the place where if something came along, we could rally up and we'll win. But if we keep going down the road where those who are the most qualified are not allowed to excel and be promoted, then we will be in a bad, bad spot come the next major conflict. I got a break coming up here in a minute, but I see I got the phone ringing, so let me just grab that real quick. Boom, we ready for that? Yeah, line one. Is that Sparky? Sparky, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil and Boomer, great show. Yeah, great topic, too. If you want to serve in certain endeavors, you have to meet certain either experiential or even physical capabilities and qualifications.
Yeah.
When I was applying to become a pilot, you had to have good vision, right? There was a discrimination. You could not wear glasses. You couldn't have anything with 20/20 vision, and there was a good reason for it, because you had to be able to be sharp. You had to be pretty smart. And I tell you what, if you soften the qualifications in a field like aviation, as I've found, and start lowering the standards, the outcome is accidents and death. And I've seen plenty of wicked smart guys and gals do pretty stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Just like I told you before, I'm proud of you for, you know, being a ranger and everything. There's a qualification to be a ranger that you have to be physically and mentally tough, and I'm not. And I knew that back then when I was young. And there was no use me applying. I wasn't going to go, well, I deserve the chance to try. It doesn't work that way. It'll never work that way in the real world.
Well, you flatter me, but I was about to say before you started flattering me on my side that you noticed that I was never a pilot. Didn't have either A, that vision, nor the smarts. But, hey, remind me too, Sparky, what did you fly? What was your airframe?
The Oyster Jakes and the Kiowa Warrior, the last version of that museum piece.
Yeah.
Pretty much 26 years of flying and working in primarily that aircraft.
That's huge. Thank you for your service. Hey, what are your quick thoughts on the idea of the Biden administration rejecting the idea of a merit-based promotion system?
Well, it's right in line with the far left socialist mindset. We not equal opportunity to achieve and work hard to excel. They want equal outcome. They want everybody to just be all the same and probably get paid the same. As we've seen in certain government circles, everyone gets the same top-notch performance evaluation, whether they work or not, and then therefore everybody gets the same cash bonus every year. It's the very model of what they want for this country, and it's never going to work in a practical capitalist economy, which is what we have.
Yeah, and that's not how you win wars. Absolutely. All right.
Absolutely not, no.
All right, brother, we appreciate you. You have a good day. We'll talk again soon. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. We want our military back, all right? We want it back. I don't mean like I want dribble drabbles. We want the whole freaking thing back. We want it taken back from the hands of people who do not appreciate the value of what that military really is, and they've tried to make it their social engineering laboratory. No, we got to put a stop to this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So here's another thing that just gets in my craw. So we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. We want our military back. So those of y'all that are out there who are serving or have served, or you have friends or family that have served, you've undoubtedly heard at some point talking about the PT test. APFT, they used to call it in the Army. The APFT, the Army Physical Fitness Test, or just doing PT. All right, big part of military life, doing PT. And then, you know, you have to get tested. And then somewhere along the line, somebody decided there's got to be a better way of doing this. Now, I will go ahead and just confess that, the old Army PT test, push-ups, sit-ups, 2-mile run. Okay, What are we really testing there? Well, we're testing whether you can do push-ups or do sit-ups, which, by the way, I herniated my neck doing sit-ups because the old school way they had you doing it, where you had to lock your fingers behind your neck and pull up. And then on top of that, there's a two-mile run. Does that really test combat fitness? Well, some would arguably say not. But has it also been a staple that has been tried and true over the years? Yes. Does it mean that's the only PT you're going to do? No. But here's the thing. Someone somewhere along the line decided here in recent years we needed to have a new version. And so they changed from the APFT to the ACFT, the Army Combat Fitness Test, doing more of what they would consider to be functional fitness. How long does it take to put together an ACFT? How long does it take to decide how best to put something together that tests the measure of fitness? Well, apparently it takes freaking years. Like, this got bogged down in bureaucracy. We're talking years to develop a pilot program for the ACFT, which includes a number of different things. It's got shuttle runs. It's got deadlifts. It's got a, you know, at one point it had an over-the-shoulders medicine ball throw. Here's the problem. The ACFT drew the ire of liberals who say, wait a minute, women are having trouble with that. We can't do that. Okay, so then they had to go back and revise parts of it. And the abdominals went from, I think, from doing a, what all was it? They went through several iterations. Now it's just down to doing planks. Okay, wow. But then at the same time, you look at it and go, you also got to consider what it takes to put on the test. They went from having, you could do the test anywhere that you could run and get down in the dirt, or if you're lucky, bring your bedroll with you and lay it down so you got a place to do your sit-ups on. And that's it. That and a stopwatch. Now they've got to bring weights. They've got to have, you know, equipment. They've got to have a much larger space. They've got to have multiple graders for one event to verify you on each side of it. It's become quite the rigmarole. It's also, by the way, extremely hard for like guard and reserve units to have the equipment to get it done. And now it's all falling apart. So they implemented the Army Combat Physical Fitness Test on October of last year, after several years of a pilot and implementation period. And the Army's top NCO is now chagrined because Congress is like, you know what? We're just not sure we're going to let you go forward with that. Well, I kind of wish Congress had acted much earlier because, granted, we spent a lot of tax dollars trying to figure out how to do this giant Mongasso PT test. But now what we got is the Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Grinston, story here from just a few weeks ago, says, he's declined to speak directly to the bill, but he's pretty blunt about the fact that reverting back to the old fitness test is going to have a huge impact on the force that has spent a lot of time and effort revising all their policies and getting things into position. In his words, it'll take us into chaos. Okay, here's the first thing I got. The Army needs to be able to determine what is a good fitness test. Congress should probably stay out of that. When you start politicizing things like whether you should do push-ups, it's gone a little too far. Let the Army be the Army, all right? At the same time, nothing takes years to develop. And when you do it, don't make it so labor and equipment intensive that it's almost impossible to get the thing done without taking up an entire day of training. Used to be a PT test, show up at 05 in the morning, stretch, start the first iteration. You're done with the whole thing by around 06:30, get the showers, hit the mess hall, you're done. Holy cow, ACFT, now on the chopping block. Can we please get politics out of our military? I'm not done with this. Coming up next, should transgenders be required to register for the draft? There's a question that'll bait you right in. I'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all of it. Like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I grab a few text messages before I move on. I'm in number one, the triple dipper. We want our military back. You know, there's always going to be inter-service rivalries, by the way. There will. It's the natural order of things. There will always be something that a Navy dude says about a Marine dude, and the Marines say something about the Army, and then we all say something about the Air Force. All right, so that's the way it works. But Marshall from Dubai just sent me this. He goes, "Hey, Phil, you know why all four branches of the military will never work effectively together? It's called communications. You tell a Marine, secure the building. The Marines go in, kill everything that moves, exit, and then call in an airstrike. Tell the Army, secure the building. They go in, kill everything that moves, set up sandbags, razor wire, and raise the flag. Tell the Navy, secure the building. They go in, turn off all the lights, and lock the doors and leave. Tell the Air Force, secure the building. They go in, get a six-month lease with an option to buy." I'm digging it. All right. That's my favorite text of the day so far. Oh, my gosh. Tony from Piedmont, thank God for Senator Turbeville. The Air Force general vying for the chief of staff has been doing just that, which he's referring to, I'm sure, the first story I had out the gate about the Biden administration pushing for a non-merit-based promotion possibility in the military. And, General C.Q. Brown, Air Force chief of staff, is the nomination right now to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And he has openly stated that he hires based on DEI principles. What do we got here? Let's see here. I can't get to that one yet. John from Decatur, I serve in a small reserve unit. To conduct an ACFT properly, more than half our units require to man everything. Even if we only have one lane, we have to bring outside units in to conduct it. That's unreal. That should not be the case. But that's the deal. It's a labor-intensive, equipment-intensive opportunity to do far more than perhaps is necessary. All right. Let me ask you a question. Boomer, I'll ask you, since you are my ready source of voice here.
I'm right here.
Let's do it. When you were 18, you had to register for Selective Service, correct?
Correct.
All right. I did, too. All the guys in the U.S. have to, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What if you're a chick that believes you're a dude, should you have to then register for the Selective Service for the draft?
Ooh. Are you trying to trick me now? I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, what if I switched it? What if it was a dude trying to get out of it, and now he's identifying as a chick?
See? It's a conundrum wrapped in a mystery. The bottom line is, what do you do with this? They want all the perks and benefits, right? Shouldn't they have to also face the potential consequences and the rough stuff that goes along with it?
I
ask the next question. Are we legitimizing their dysphoria by saying, you need to now register for Selective Service? Story here from Fox News, dated a couple of days ago. Transgender men should register for the military draft if they want to be treated like men, says one GOP rep. Representative Tim Burchett, from just north of our border in Tennessee, has introduced a proposal that would require biological women who identify as men to have to register with Selective Service in case the U.S. ever has another military draft. His words, quote, "If they want to be treated like men, they should need to do what other men do and register for Selective Service and get called up like everybody else. This group of people is more protected than any other group, and it's not right." Okay, I see his point. I could debate this from both sides, but at the same time, part of me thinks, like what I said a moment ago, do we want to legitimize things? I mean, I really think that a part of what we're seeing is not just mental illness, it's also fads. It's a fad. I am not only praying as such, but I'm believing that this whole transgender wave that we're seeing right now, which is such a minuscule portion of the population, is going to burn out. I think there's going to be mass tort litigation in the next 10 years by kids banding together with an attorney to say, what were you thinking when you cut on me or gave me those drugs? I think that's going to happen. I think the whole flavor of the week thing with transgenders is going to fade. In the meantime, what do we do with this? If they say that they're really a dude, shouldn't they have to do dude things? I mean, they demand the right to use certain restrooms, right? They demand the right to use the locker rooms. In reality is women don't sign up for selective service. It's only men. That's the law of the land. So you're looking at, if you're establishing that, then just like Boomer said a minute ago, you have a dude who claims he's a chick. Does Dylan Mulvaney now not have to register for selective service? What you got?
I think the dudes that are identifying as chicks, I can't even talk, chicks, they still have to do it. I don't think we should coddle any of this gender identity stuff. So if you're identifying as a dude, you know, then you're just pouring into their.
So you're saying don't do it.
Don't do it. Just make the dudes, the normal dudes that were born a dude, still have to do it. Dudes got to do it.
All right.
I mean,
I'm with you. I think that's it. I think you go with the biological.
Because if you start, like you said, if you start doing one thing, then it's gonna get hairy.
Yeah. I'm not sure why that was funny, but it was. I agree. I'm looking at the story from Fox, and with all due respect to Representative Burchett, I know what he's doing. He's making a point, and I think he's making a good point. But I do believe that we've got to stick with the reality that biological, what's on your birth certificate, is what causes you to sign up for selective service. That's just my opinion. That's just where I'm at. I see some phones are ringing, so we may take a call here in a minute. In the meantime, got a story here from Stars. You know, we've had Major General Arbuckle on several times, and he is a pretty solid member of Stars, which is an organization, STARRS. Go to their website, it's stars.us. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to. They're an organization of retired generals, admirals, and senior officers and NCOs that are determined to get the wokeness out of our military. And they're doing a pretty good job of pointing things out. Anyway, story here from Stars, written by a retired Navy captain named James Nault, U.S. Naval Academy class of 81. It says, in late June, the U.S. Army, through the U.S. Army Sustainment Command's Public Affairs Office, published a story about one Major Rachel Jones. Rachel, by the way, is a dude who now identifies as transgender in the military. The story, if you haven't seen it, the first thing I thought was, well, apparently not only is transgender allowed, but the PT tests are no longer required. That's what I thought. Anyway, it says, first of all, how did Jones, or anyone for that matter, ever meet the mental health standards to be admitted to the armed forces, where Jones openly admits that he, quote, struggled with depression and suicidal ideation for most of his life, lived every day deeply depressed and suicidal, and grew up depressed and suicidal to the point that he always had a plan on how to end his life. And then he also points out, how did Jones pass the Army physical fitness test? Because you can tell by looking at him, oh boy, is not at all in what you would call, you know, strong on military discipline and bearing. Fourth, why does he stand there in the photo holding pride flags and not American flags when he's an 04 in the field grade officer in the United States Army? And next, he would like to state for the record that when he was commanding officer, he did not have a purple whale plush toy on his desk. And that's, you know, sitting right there on the desk. The whole thing's a farce. It's farcical. And you look at it and think, what is happening right now? I got time for a couple of calls. Let me see if I can grab those real quick. Line one first. Line one, Chris from Lauderdale County. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Hey, my thought is, do what the Israelis do. Everybody serves 3 years, and it doesn't address this craziness of these people think they're the opposite sex of what they are. But then you get away from whether they should or shouldn't register.
So you're saying ollie income free, let's quit playing games with it, everybody's in.
Yeah. What the Israelis do, isn't it?
I believe it is. Now, the Israelis also got a they're kind of under the gun at all times with a very small population base, and they have to draw from male and female for their draft. We don't have to do that.
We may not have to now, but look at what's going on in Europe and the influx of both illegals and those that are coming in legally under the guise of not being terrorists or terrorist beliefs. You know, we're going to get there eventually.
I agree, man. Hey, I got one more call for the break. Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Line two, Cooter from Huntsville. Hey, Cooter, how you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, just a comment based on, I think it was Boomer that was commenting about, you know, whatever they're born with, that, you know, they're male, go ahead and register.
Right.
But I would just say, do we really want them?
No, and I would say that we probably don't, because what you're doing, the article I just read a minute ago, right when you were calling in, I think, is talking about the fact that it's often, you know, associated with mental illness and brings a lot of baggage with it, not to include the fact that now they also want transgender surgeries on military dime.
Exactly.
All right. Cooter, thanks for it, man.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate you. All right, let's take a break, Boom. We'll come right back. This one is taking a little time, but I got a couple more pieces. We're going to wrap this thing up when we get back. Like, for instance, what is happening with the military lowering the standard on sexual assault but making it more difficult to be, you know, gender-specific? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, I mean, I'm looking at several stories here. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, wrapping this thing up. We want our military back. And I don't mean that like, that's not just some euphemism on my part, all right? That's not just me kind of being witty. No, we want it back. We want it back where it was. We want it back to where young men and women want to be in, because they know that when they go in, they're going to be trained to be warriors, and they're going to wind up having an esprit de corps, and they're going to, the morale is high in the ranks, and there's an order and a discipline to life. I mean, I get it. Things change. I'm not asking for everything. We need to go back to 1974. No, I'm not saying that. By the way, 74 was the Hollow Army, so we don't want to go back there. But what I'm saying is this. We have lost sight of some stuff at the senior level. And the snap and pop of the military was there for a purpose. And there was a sense of order that came from being in the military that, by the way, there's, you know, Joe does stuff. I mean, you're gonna find shenanigans in the barracks all the time. But you're also gonna find that you've got young men and women who have signed up, who find purpose and who find a cause and who find a capability and who find a self-discipline and who find a morale and who find things that they didn't have. They're part of something bigger than themselves. They didn't join up so they can learn how to be more inclusive and how to give some credibility to others around the world. No, they signed up so they can learn how best to gain a skill, maybe earn the GI Bill in the course of doing so, also learn how to kill things and break stuff. But that being said, we are facing a constant sort of push to make things softer. Softer. Story here on Fox News. Representative Anna Paulina Luna of Florida is taking aim at the Pentagon over its opposition to her bill that would combat sexual assault in the military by requiring service members to take monthly self-defense classes. Okay, now, number one, I look at it and go, all right, Congresswoman, I applaud your effort, but I don't know that you, as a congresswoman, should be mandating that all members of the military have to take self-defense classes. I mean, they already they go to basic training, they learn some self-defense right there. And then there's also combatives training that the combat arms you're going to wind up taking. And then there's PT and you're physically fit and yada, yada, yada. But, okay, she's got her modus operandi here. She wants to see sexual assault being put back into, you know, its rightful place by training people how to be better prepared to deal with it. That's her idea. The DOD is resisting. And she points out, the DOD's response to my office says, all you need to know about the state of the military right now. My first thought was they were going to say, Congresswoman, you're infringing upon otherwise valuable training time by implying that we're not doing enough. That's not what they said. Here's what they said. The Pentagon said the classes could affect its ability to train young service members in the proper skills to, quote, navigate and develop healthy relationships. That's the answer? I didn't mind seeing that there was a rejection at first, believing it was going to be only because we're already doing that, Congresswoman. You just don't like the way we're doing it. Or we don't have time to add that layer on, Congresswoman, because we have other training we have to do. Or, no. It's because they don't want to do it because they're trying to help people navigate and develop healthy relationships. Come on. How about this one? Woke military is the U.S.'s strategic advantage over our adversaries. So hotair.com has this piece. Came out 2 days ago. Because diversity is our strength, teaching recruits that a transgender soldier who feels guilty about his, her, Z, and Zer's white guilt will give America the edge over the People's Liberation Army. There's the way the article starts off. This, by the way, is a parody article, don't worry, but it's also its parody in the sense that it's calling out what it sees and making light of it. It says the White House on Monday slammed a House Republican defense policy bill aimed at eliminating what GOP lawmakers have called woke policies inside the Pentagon, including the current practice of hosting drag queen shows on military bases. It says a bunch of soldiers demanding drag shows for kids, reparations, and accusing the military of being an agent of white supremacy seems like one that is no longer focused on a primary mission, which is either threatening to or actually killing people and breaking things. Getting a lecture about how DEI is vital to American security is kind of ridiculous. And by the way, they point out the hypocrisy here. The Biden administration was lecturing the government of Afghanistan about LGBTQ plus rights right before it pulled out and abandoned the country to the Taliban, which has gone so far in the opposite direction. But that's where we are right now. It's not the rank and file. It's not. It's not the rank and file. What we're dealing with, though, is a politicized, hyper-woke senior leadership, both civilian and military, who should be ashamed of themselves for constantly implementing policies. And by the way, stop with the political speak. Don't respond to a congressman going, well, we're trying to teach them how to have better relationships. Just say, Congresswoman, thank you for your interest. We believe that we are covering that ground already. Ding! Next. But instead, we've got to talk like, you know, all the latest buzzwords to show how woke we are so we can get the next, you know, bullet point on our OER. All right, enough of that. I love the military. I'm just tired of the stuff being thrust upon them. We're going to come right back with a section we call Home Fries, talking about what's happening around our state. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.